Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
I believe united we stand, and we have common ground to find, and we're going to find it. We're not even going to
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind for another very busy week in the Capitol. But first of all, I wish I was there. Attorney General Josh Call says again on the anniversary of the Parkland shooting, we need a red flag law and background checks. Senator Tustin and Representative Taylor talk about the Ledge Council bill on police body cameras that will be moving forward. Speaker Voss, read our lips. No tax increase. Ag Secretary Brad Pfaff. Wisconsin farmers would prefer open markets to Trump administration checks to offset tariffs. And finally, Administration Secretary Joe Brennan. The Evers administration reviews of Foxconn air emission and water diversion permits do not threaten Foxconn's development plans for Wisconsin. Wish I was there.
Do you think the governor will introduce the red flag bill that you called for when the governor introduces his February 28th budget?
We need to change this culture, and we need to take common sense steps. So I'm hopeful that we will see a red flag bill. I think it would be great to see universal background checks and long-term funding for mental health programs in our schools, too.
The first really important issue that we addressed is how long do you keep the video? So we came up with a standard of 120 days that all video has to be kept, and that's very consistent with the statute of limitations.
If a department chooses to employ the use of body cameras for their law enforcement officials, they have to have a written policy. They have to update that policy periodically as technology changes.
When we look at birth cost recovery and we look at it across the country, we find that most states have abandoned the process. In contrast, Wisconsin is the leading state in birth cost recovery.
While there is no great data source for the number of internships that exist in Wisconsin, what data we can compile suggests that there are nowhere near enough internship experiences for every student in Wisconsin.
So 1 in 5 adults in America experience a mental illness. Nearly 1 in 25 adults live with a serious mental illness. And 1/2 of all chronic illnesses begin by the age of 14.
There is no way we are ever going to agree to increasing taxes. I mean, that is a bedrock conservative principle that's just never going to happen.
Thank you all for being here today as we introduce the Campaign Integrity Package, which is a set of 9 bills having individuals have a say in who their elected officials are and making sure that the public has insight into who is spending money to buy their representatives, their elected leaders.
Brian Hagedorn has repeatedly used his position to actively try to discriminate against the LGBTQ community. There is no reason to trust that he won't do it again, given the opportunity on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
In wake of the tariffs debate, there was a special one-time fund set up by the feds to give to farmers who may have lost income due to the tariffs. Are Wisconsin farmers cashing some of those checks yet?
I'm of the opinion that farmers would rather have trade than aid.
When the governor says that your administration is going to review the air pollution permit, the water diversion permit, does that statement threaten Foxconn?
No, it shouldn't. We want to make sure that transparency is one of the things that people understand is a high priority for Governor Evers, and it's something that his administration is going to do from day one.
We have a tax cut showdown at the Capitol Corral now shaping up. The state assembly went first, passing its own Republican version of a tax cut bill. Then the Senate went on Wednesday. And now the Republican legislators sent it immediately to Governor Evers, which means how many days? A week? Or
basically, it's a week.
He has a week that he must sign it, veto it, or let it become law without
a
signature.
Future. Yep.
So why force the governor to act on it before he presents his budget on February 28th?
Oh, they're trying to force his hand. I mean, So what happens is normally there are dates built into the session where every bill that's passed is sent to the governor's desk. That date for this first piece of the session is April 25th, which is almost 2 months after his budget comes out. Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, and Scott Fitzgerald, Assembly Leader, want to force Evers' hand. They want to paint him into a corner or try to. They say, okay, you have to act on this bill before your budget, And if you look at that, you know, that week window, it kind of expires late next week. That means the week before his own budget comes out, Evers would have to veto this thing, which we expect, and then talk about that for a while. It's interesting that Republicans feel pretty good about this debate because they're talking, you know, we're debating a tax cut, not whether to cut taxes, but right. how to do it.
And they started this year, this calendar year, which means...
Well, their withholding table changes wouldn't take effect until January 2020.
Okay, thank
so there's
you.
No real emergency to pass this bill.
Even though Joint Finance declared, found, and proclaimed an emergency.
Which you have to do to pass a spending bill before the budget's done. Anyway, this is purely about trying to message this thing and trying to put Evers in a difficult position. So now Evers vetoes the bill. How does he message it then? He can say, well, it should be done in the budget, which, you know, you make that argument. But then if you don't get a tax cut done in the budget, then what? Then you fell short of one of your campaign promises. Republicans say, hey, look, we had all this money laying around. We want to give it back to you, and they did not want to. It's the key to watch here is the messaging battle. Who wins that going forward? They both want to do a middle-income tax cut. They can't agree how to do it. So watch that messaging battle. And, oh, by the way, how is this going to be used in the budget? We all know that Governor Evers is not going to sign the full Republican version of the budget, and they won't do what he wants to do. So does it become a bargaining chip? Does Evers say, okay, I'll give you your tax cut the way you want to fund it, but then you give me this on schools or this over here, then they reach an agreement? Or is it the Evers budget, the Republican budget, and Evers goes, okay, either I'm going to rework my veto pen or veto the entire thing, and we start over. That I don't know.
Okay, but no Democrat voted for the GOP tax cut, correct?
No, and it puts him in a difficult position.
That's true, because if you said, if he signs a budget without a tax cut, then there we can now hear the campaign ads and sound bites in the fall of 2020, these Democrats voted against the middle-class tax cut.
Oh, don't forget, this was the chance for Democrats more likely to vote for it because the budget that's going to come out of the legislature is not going to be a bipartisan budget unless how many years are stunned by a truly bipartisan budget. I don't see that happening, but maybe it does. That said, they didn't vote for it here. You're not going to vote. If you're Democrat, you're not going to vote for the Republican version of the budget, most likely. You may be forced to a veto override vote, right?
Yeah.
So you're having three votes on the record where you're not supporting middle-class income tax cut. It's a difficult spot for you.
It is.
The flip side is almost every single Democrat in the legislature has a safe seat. There are, I mean, other than Steve Doyle over in the La Crosse area, there are no more swing seat Democrats left now.
Because of the reapportionment maps drawn by the Republicans in 2011. Go.
Exception, Patty Schottner up in the 10th Senate District, which is, it's not a swing seat, it's a Republican seat. She won that, remember that special election last year. She is in maybe a more difficult spot. But for everybody else, you know, it's not a tough vote because you're in a safe seat. And for Schottner, I mean, we looked at what happened last fall with the 1st Senate District where Caleb Frostman won this Republican-leaning seat in a special election because Dem base was jazzed up.
Yep.
But then a normal environment came around and he lost by not a small margin. So I don't know if Schottner can survive that normal environment if there is a quote-unquote normal left.
Okay, we don't make predictions here, but likely that the governor vetoes this GOP tax cut?
Every signal he's going to veto the bill.
Every signal. Okay, let's end the segment by listening to some of the debate on the tax cut. And I ask Administration Secretary Brennan, veto? Let's listen to that, please. Is vetoing the Republican tax bill an option, Mr. Secretary?
Sure, it absolutely is an option.
It is?
Yes.
Veto with a message that I'm bringing in my own budget another tax cut.
Yeah. I mean, the discussion's been out there for the last several weeks about this.
The manufacturing and ag tax credit has generated 42,000 jobs. It's a part of our economic engine that's growing. That small business person has a lot of revenue coming in. Yeah, but that's his products, that's his sales, that's what he does or she does, and they operate out of their own pocketbook, their own checkbook. That millionaire might be taking home, just like the farmer, a lot less, $30,000, $40,000, not a million. I mean, you have to really look at who these people really are.
For the life of me, I understand the Republican philosophical mantra is cut taxes. I get that. But usually when you cut taxes, they're paid for moving forward. You want to do something really good with this money right now? Put it into the damn roads. I guarantee you, just do it one time, those roads are going to last longer than this Assembly Bill 4 is going to last.
I'm sure that we've all read the same predictions that another economic slowdown is coming. We all know that the economy moves in cycles. And apparently, we all want to see a middle class tax cut. Well, let's go ahead and pass one that's sustainable and doesn't leave us wanting when, not if, we find ourselves in another economic downturn.
The surplus produced by prudent and mindful financial management of the past is not government's money. It's yours. Let me repeat. Wisconsin is holding your money. It belongs to you. Consider the middle class and the hardworking families that will benefit from this. These people are the very backbone of our great state, and we should not squander this opportunity for them, but instead return their hard-earned money to them now.
In his State of the State message, he proclaimed this the year of clean drinking water. Mm-hmm. Now he shared with the Associated Press some details of a major initiative on clean drinking water. Let's go through that clearly. $70 million for clean water. DNR could borrow $65 million to help local governments with anti-pollution grants, clean up the shorelines of the Milwaukee and St. Louis rivers, and loans so local governments could pay half the cost of replacing lead pipes. And then the Department of Ag could borrow $10 million. $1.4 million to work with farmers on best practices and fertilizer use, $300,000 on water pollution management and new manure spreading rules. No real surprises?
No. There was a bill last session to work on the lead lateral issue. One of the concerns raised then was the government essentially helping pay for the private section of replacing those laterals because, you know, depending where you live, where the line is between what the city owns and what you own when it comes to your connection.
And your bill can be pretty costly.
So, yeah, so there's that to wonder about. How is it going to be financed? How does it fit in the whole budget package? But it seems like of all the stuff that we're seeing right now, this may be the one issue where there is, like, bipartisan agreement, not just on the issue, but on doing something. Robin Voss has a task force on wells, water after the Southwestern Wisconsin had the issue with the wells that are contaminated.
And there's a mess in Kewaunee County, polluted homeowner wells.
Some of the Evers bill touches on the well stuff. I saw John Nygren, the Joint Finance Co-Chair, sign on to a Democratic bill when it comes to wells. I mean, there actually might be some room for a deal to get done on some of this stuff this session.
I agree. Related to the environment, the governor has announced that Wisconsin will be joining the U.S. Climate Change Alliance. Now, he's joining groups like California, although Governor Jerry Brown is no longer there. Mm-hmm. This I saw as kind of symbolic.
Yes.
We're going to join this because we agree with the goal of climate change, especially because President Trump withdrew the United States from the Paris Agreement on greenhouse emissions. And the governor's statement was, it's time to lead our state in a new direction where we embrace science, discuss the very real implications of climate change, work to find solutions, and invest in renewable energy. But we don't know any details, do we?
No, and the release didn't make clear how they'd get these things done. Because remember, this was created again because pulling out the Paris Accords, these states want to try and implement those kind of policies. Well, in Wisconsin, if you want to implement those policies, you need buy-in from the legislature, either through a bill you want to do, or if you go the administrative rule route, they still get a kick of that cat of looking at what's in there and have review power. So I don't get the sense you're going to see Republicans buying into a lot of this stuff. So it may be more a symbolic thing in the end. Don't forget, related front, the Board of Commissioner of Public Lands late last week reversed its policy banning discussion, lobbying, work on climate change. So it's more of an issue of this is Democrats saying here's where we are on this issue. We believe in this stuff.
But the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands wasn't the only agency that banned discussion of climate change. DNR took it off their website. Mm-hmm. So we're back. The general goals of Governor Evers and Lieutenant Governor Barnes: set new energy saving goals for state agencies, increase the use of solar energy, help businesses and communities make smart energy choices. I'm reminded, JR, that we have not set a renewable energy standard for Wisconsin for years. The Walker administration didn't go there. Mm-hmm. They really didn't.
It's sending a message. There's a new administration with a new view on things. Remember, Evers ran talking about we're going to rely on science, restore science to state government.
Right. The next subject, JR, Black History Month, and let's just lay out what happened. The Black Caucus submitted a resolution who should be honored that included Colin Kaepernick, former NFL, former San Francisco Giants quarterback, who knelt to protest police shootings. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans said, we'll pass the Black History Month resolution, but not with Colin Kaepernick. This drew national headlines, Washington Post, The Nation, USA Today. Not maybe the finest hour in the Wisconsin legislature?
It lasted how many hours in the assembly on Tuesday and at least four in the Senate?
Right.
Very emotional speeches were given. Also fascinating that in the assembly, it seemed like the message from Republicans was they wanted a resolution that everybody could support.
Right.
And initially, members of the Black Caucus kind of said, okay, we'll go along with this, and voted for that amended resolution on the floor. But just hours later, at the first statement from Lakeisha Myers, a freshman from Milwaukee, saying, no, this is not right. You're not going to dictate to us. You're going to give us permission, kind of paraphrasing her words, of who African-American lawmakers want to honor for Black History Month. And then you saw a torrent of Democrats in the Assembly switching their votes. Now, you can't change the actual vote, so unanimous in the record, but you can have your vote reflected or your change of mind reflected in the record, in the journal.
Yes.
So they did that. Then the Senate, it became a purely partisan vote, right? Along party lines.
It did. And the Democrats repeatedly asked to the GOP senators, would you take questions on the issue? Nobody did. But one of the truly outstanding quotes, and on this issue at least, was from Senator Lena Taylor, who are you, referring to white Republicans, to deny our reality? So lingering black eye, or this too will pass?
Good question. I mean, there are other subsets of this. Barbara Dietrich, a freshman Republican from the kind of southeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Tweet went out during the debate that, you know, really took a shot at Kaepernick. She said the tweet wasn't authorized. It wasn't from her. The only person with access to her account was a staffer who, by the way, kind of got in trouble with his former boss, Tom Weatherston.
Tom Weatherston.
Again, over something that related to race. He is now retired. From what we understand,
that aide is retired. Let's be clear.
Aide is retired, so that wasn't exactly a great moment for her to have that going on. I mean, there's all kinds of like subtext to this.
But that tweet talked about Kaepernick wearing anti-police socks at a time when Milwaukee is mourning the death of the third officer in 8 months. So it's just sad the way this all played out. But both houses passed Black History Month resolutions after the snipping out of Colin Kaepernick's name. And Mr. Kaepernick grew up in Wisconsin.
Milwaukee native. I think he may have lived in Fond du Lac for a while, too.
Right, right. Okay. Let's listen to a little bit of that video, that back and forth in the assembly on the Black History Month debate and the Colin Kaepernick controversy.
I think our intention is to take up a resolution honoring Black History Month. Typically, the way these resolutions have been handled in the past is we've worked together, both parties have, to make sure that there's agreement on who we're honoring and who we're naming. If we're putting specific names in there, there was some disagreement over that. I think the biggest one was probably Colin Kaepernick, for obvious reasons.
For what purpose does the gentleman from the 17th seek recognition?
I'm looking for us to be recognized as a Black caucus and have our resolution put on the calendar.
Chief Clerk, will you read the title of Assembly Joint Resolution 5?
Assembly Joint Resolution 5, relating to proclaiming February 2019 as Black History Month. Failed 60-34.
Thank you. So we tried to bring up the Black History Month resolution. It was objected to, and now you want to bring up another Black History Month.
When it comes to Mr. Kaepernick, I was in favor of adding him to the resolution for the following reason. He took the onus and responsibility to not just run a ball down a field and be done. He decided to take on ownership of a problem that he saw, which was police brutality.
Wisconsin lawmakers are paid a base salary of $53,000. They also get health care and pension, other benefits. They also are allowed to collect per diem, depending on where you live. If you live outside Dane County, your per diem is half of what it is for legislators that come further away. This is to compensate them for commuting to the Capitol and living expenses when they come here on official business. So every year, the chief clerks in both houses release a total of who has collected the most per diems. And as we're showing now in the graphic, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald, 14,960, not surprising,
nope.
Majority Leader. And then Democratic Senator Vinehout, 12,6. Senator Risser, 11,6. He only lives a few steps from the Capitol.
Yeah, his condo building is across the street from Capitol Square, I believe.
Right. Senator Luther Olson, who is a key player in a lot of issues.
Joint Finance Committee.
Joint Finance and dark
Education.
Stores.
Education Committee Chair.
And then Senator Tim Carpenter in Milwaukee. So we are just listing legislators whose per diems exceeded 10,000. And then in the Assembly, Assembly Democratic Leader Hintz, of course. Jocasta Zamarripa, an assistant leader. Still, yes.
I'm blanking. Last session, yes.
And Gary Taukin and John Nygren, co-chair of finance. Of the nine legislators who collected more than 10,000 in per diems, four were Democrats out of power. Anything to be made of that?
No, I mean, honestly, and not to cast aspersions upon the motives of anybody here, this in some ways becomes a salary supplement for some lawmakers because it's an honor system. You don't turn in receipts. It's supposed to cover, you know, food, travel, lodging, those kinds of things.
It's tax-free, too.
Not unless you live. It's Dane County for sure, but I can't remember like what the radius is. You have to pay taxes on it if you're
some legislators do. Right.
Some of the names on the list are people who are always there. I mean, that's part of it. If it's a full time job, you're always going to be there, and you have to claim this.
Right. Okay. WisPolitics has been doing a lot with the campaign fundraising. Mm-hmm. Brian Hagedorn versus Lisa Neubauer. And the most recent reports filed from covering January 1 through February 4 showed that Mr. Hagedorn outraised Ms. Neubauer, but cash on hand, $715,000 she has. His cash on hand is $236,000.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of backstories here that you've been following closely. Fill us in.
She gave herself a $250,000 loan back in June of this past year. That accounts for most, but not all, of the gap in cash on hand. In looking at the reports, what I'm seeing is basically a traditional Democrat versus Republican campaign. Brian Hagedorn has this last period, which basically covered the month of January.
Yep.
Nine donors covered more than about half of the money he raised. It included business people, Elizabeth Uline, husband Dick Uline. They're, you know, his power donor couple and business people from Illinois. You've got the Uline Company in southeastern Wisconsin, saw the realtors get behind him. With Neubauer, we saw union money. So it's kind of shaping up to be a traditional campaign, even though it's, you know, a quote-unquote nonpartisan race. Now, as we talked, the key thing for Hagedorn is to send a message that he is for real, that he is raising real money. He's going to run a real campaign because conservatives felt like last year their candidate, Judge Skrenik, didn't really kind of rise to the occasion, and it was a campaign that wasn't that well-funded. It was propped up by the state GOP and his contributions, and in the end, he lost by a dozen points. Looking forward, Judge Neubauer put out a polling memo this week that we got a hold of that said that the environment is good for her. Donald Trump is unpopular with likely April voters. Scott Walker is unpopular with likely April voters. By the way, he appointed Hagedorn to the bench. He also was, I think, his chief legal counsel,
Mr. Hagedorn was.
And that Republicans' legislature unpopular with the likely April electorate. That's what they're seeing. Now, in talking to Republicans, they feel like it's not going to be what we saw a year ago, where Dallet ran away by a dozen points. They feel better, even though they acknowledge it could be a difficult environment because of the question of who's fired up to run or to turn out. Remember, Democrats, generally speaking, Donald Trump is the ultimate motivator. That December extraordinary recession probably added fuel to the fire. Scott Walker is gone, but here you have somebody who was linked to Walker. Does that motivate people? For conservatives, the motivation could be that they have to win this seat to ensure they have the majority going forward because they know next year with Daniel Kelly is going to be a very, very difficult race because he'll be on the ballot the same time of the presidential primary. And barring something unforeseen, we expect Democrats to have likely a contested race and Donald Trump to maybe have minor opposition but not have a real contest come April in Wisconsin.
Well, and also the pedigree of Neubauer as a Democrat. Her husband was the state Democratic chairman. Her daughter, Greta, is a Democratic member of the state assembly. So the lines here seem pretty well drawn, R versus D.
Yeah, and Neubauer, so far, is running a campaign that's kind of a traditional Supreme Court campaign.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is you stress your endorsements, your experience, you're not talking about issues, but there are cues that you can send to ignite the base, like, you know, Hagedorn's appointed by Walker. Now, that brings me to what we've been seeing recently. So now we have this week from Wisconsin Now highlighting that Hattie Dorn helped found and sits on the board still of a school that
discriminates against
gays
LGBT
and transgender people.
Yes.
I've been asking people, how big a deal is this? And I'm getting very different answers from liberals and conservatives. To liberals, to argue this is disqualifying, that this puts Hattie Dorn outside even the mainstream of traditional, even hardcore conservatives. This is kind of to the right of them. To some conservatives, though, this is becoming a religious smear, in their words, that this is becoming a religious test, that this is, he's not out of the mainstream of a lot of religious Christian faiths when it comes to these issues, and that they're making it a mistake to go after him, it'll backfire and rally the base.
Right.
I don't know what is he actually going to come up with this.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to happen on radio or TV, but it does seem like motivation for both bases right now in this race to get involved come April.
And just to be clear, they're running to replace retiring Justice Shirley Abramson, and the election is April 2nd.
Yeah, it's a 4-3 conservative majority right now. Abramson's part of the liberal minority.
Yes.
If liberals hold onto this seat, well, then next spring is all about all the marbles control the court. And the big thing I'm watching for in that Supreme Court race is, will the conservative groups get engaged and spend?
Yeah.
I keep hearing that they're lining the money up to do this,
right,
and they're going to go all out to help Hattie Dorn. The question is, what resources does Neubauer bring to the table? What do those liberal groups do? And her polling memo says that like 3/4 of voters don't know who these guys are. Now,
right,
that's not a shock.
I know.
You know,
yeah,
ahead of the campaign, you know,
yeah,
everything else.
Yeah.
But they have to have resources to find themselves to voters and to find themselves in a way they wanted to find themselves, not having, like with Hattie Dorn as an example, these issues being the ones that define him in people's minds.
Okay, and before we get to your stocks, there's just one little item I want to take like 20 seconds on because it is so novel. So when Governor Walker came in, Wisconsin welcomes you, the sign at all of our borders, he had it changed to open for business. So we get a new governor in Mr. Evers, and he takes those open for business and reasserts the traditional, what had been, the name of the governor, but then he recycles the open for business to detour signs. You know, one of the elements of news is novelty. So we're talking about it because it's novel. I just find it a little bit bizarre. Any PSs before we get to your stocks?
It's interesting that, you know, that using them for detour signs is just fodder for critics, right? I mean,
yep,
maybe we could find something else that would have been better.
Yeah.
That said, the open for business thing was Scott Walker's shtick, right? I don't mean to say that in a negative way. That was Scott Walker's line. Scott Walker's not in charge anymore. And Republican lawmakers who are chafing at this, you see signs of them having a hard time acknowledging that they don't run the show. It's not their message. What if Evers wanted an open for education message,
yep,
on the sign? Or, you know, open for prison reform? Or, you know, I mean, that,
okay,
those are his things,
we just
right?
Can't. Yeah, right. Okay, you have got 2 minutes to go,
right,
go through your stock picks.
So, pardons, Scott Walker didn't pardon anybody in 8 years. There are reasons for that. One, he said that doing it would undercut a judge or a jury. Two, he was afraid to blow up in his face. Some of you pardon goes out and reoffends. Tony Evers has made clear he was going to go out and bring this system back up, going to appoint people to the pardon advisory board. He's going to listen to that board and make pardons. And asking people about this, the message I got this week was that he can use this in a way that's symbolic. He's not going to go out and like pardon thousands of people. That would be not smart politically. What he can do, though, is send a message about he wants to start the building block, to use his words, of criminal justice reform,
yep,
talk about nonviolent drug offenders,
yep,
talk about ways to reduce the prison population. You can do this in a targeted way with your pardon pen,
okay,
to help that. We'll see how it works. I mean, just keep an eye on that.
Okay, and you got a minute for your mixed and falling.
Achievement
next
gap, just
achievement
real quick.
Gap.
We have long struggled with the achievement gap in Wisconsin education.
Biggest in the nation, according to the governor's State of the State speech.
Here's the bottom line. We saw an increase overall in the graduation rates for high schools last year compared to the year before. We saw Hispanic, African-American, white, and Pacific Islander students have their graduation rates go up. I think Asian-Americans were flat, and Native-Americans dropped a point. But the gap closed slightly between whites and blacks and whites and Hispanics. It increased whites to Asians, whites and Native-Americans. What's to watch? Why I picked this? The new DPI superintendent says we're going to keep working on this.
Yes.
And Governor Evers, who appointed her to that job, his old job, said, I had all these ideas before that Governor Walker was going to do. I'm bringing them back. This issue was named the spotlight with him as governor going forward.
And I completely agree with your following. Go for it.
So let's talk about the politics of the Black History Month resolution, okay? Look, the reality is there are base politics for both sides in this debate, all right? So let's break it down. if you're a Republican, if you're talking about Colin Kaepernick, you're pulling a page from the Trump playbook to rural Wisconsin of, here's a guy who knelt during the anthem that you don't like, that they did stuff like that. Reminds you of the NFL protests. There is a base appeal for that. If you are a Democrat, you can talk to voters who are black and brown and say, look, you have these white Republicans from rural Wisconsin telling you who you should honor. That's not something you're going to like. So there's base politics at play. But what fascinates people I talk to is that it's another example of how this building's not functioning at this point, right? Even when they have shared goals. I mean, they have a shared goal to honor Black History Month. And
a
they
shared goal on a tax cut, too. Go ahead.
And they can't get on the page to do that. Tax cut. Where do they find ways to work together? I mean, Jennifer Schilling keeps saying this place is broken.
Yes.
You know,
and
we have to find a way.
And this breaks it even further, she said during the debate on the Black History.
We shall see. Let's be honest. The last 8 years have not been moments of kumbaya in that building in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
What I want to know, though, and people I talk to want to know, is where do they agree? Where do they find common ground, even on things they like? So the water we talked about earlier, that may be an area. But where else? What's going to happen? How is this building going to operate for the next 2 years? Or is this going to be a simple base-on-base effort so that they all stick to their guns, and 4 years from now we have maybe a new governor, maybe a new legislature. We'll see.
Yep. Okay, and we should point out that special election to replace Representative Barca, well, former Representative Barca, now Secretary of Department of Revenue, April 30th with the primary on the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And a programming note, I'm going to be gone helping a family member recover from surgery, so JR, you and Jesse are going to preview the state budget.
Do our best.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm JR Ross.
That's Rewind for February 15th.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.